right at the base of the hill, and people aren't seeing it. This guy just went into it. Right. Another one flew in right over here. Just swerved off.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm your host today, Todd Conklin. Let's listen more to what we started listening at before we bumped in with the jingle. Late last year, this is kind of early December of 16, this YouTube clip hit the streets pretty hard. I had a copy early thanks to some very, very, very sharp and on-point podcast listeners who sent it to me. It then kind of caught the big news as well. I want you to listen to this gentleman struggling with a couple field technicians. The company they work for hardly matters, but if you're interested in looking, just Google Comcast Icy Road and you'll get the entire video that goes with this audio. But listen carefully to how this escalates and where this moves, because I think once you hear it, we got to talk about this a little bit, because it's easy to jump to badness really quickly, but I would actually suggest that this is a story not of bad judgment, but of production pressure and environment. You listen and tell me what you think. Here we go.
Want to put your truck in the driveway or something? Because people are sliding off down there.
I really don't.
I mean, they're popping over
I need as much stuff to keep people out of the way so that I don't get hit.
Right. Do you have more cones that we can put up there or something?
Yeah, I got a couple more in the truck.
I think this is going to get bad up here. People are popping over the hill and can't see you. All right, there's another slide off. Now, here they come. Nope. He's gonna wreck. Oh. Watch out. Slow down. Here goes.
Come on, man.
Hey, seriously, get a cone down here or something, all right? Your guys caused...
No, we don't cause anything.
Yeah.
No, that car up there did. See where they want to hit the power supply?
Yeah, but there was...
we got to fix it. There was five cones.
Was that... That's not enough.
That's... This is 40-mile-an-hour road, right? So we have to have one cone per mile an hour, or per 10-mile-an-hour. Five cones for a 40-mile-an-hour zone. Maybe somebody shouldn't be flying through here. I got to go fix stuff.
When I warned him, I'm telling you... Oh, here it goes. Watch out, Luella. Watch out. Watch out, everyone. There you go. I'm telling you. Maybe a couple more cones. Dude, there's a hill there. They can't see you. I just told you. You got work to do? Is that cable more important than people's safety?
Sir, you are blocking traffic.
Sir, there is no traffic. It is blocked because there's accidents.
Well, that's funny. You have a job, sir?
What?
Do you have a job?
I do have a job.
So do I. This is my job.
Yes, but I'm saying that it's the safety. If I had a job that was putting people in danger, and I tell you about it, and you ignore me, saying it's not your fault, and then this happens right in front of you.
Okay, this citizen's pretty wound up. He's pretty emotional, and rightfully so. If you check the video, imagine the scenario. If you're driving or walking the dog or whatever you're doing when you listen to a podcast, I'll sort of set it up for you. It's one of those neighborhoods that's not urban but not rural. It's kind of a crossover, and it's a hill. It's a pretty big two-lane. It looks like it probably gets relatively good traffic on rush hours, so in the morning and the evening. It's snowing to beat the band. The roads are just starting to sort of attract the snow, so they're starting to get slick. It's probably cold enough for it to get icy, and the field technicians are working on a junction box at the bottom of a hill. And they've got their utility truck set up off the road. They've got it coned out with four cones, obviously. You probably picked that up somewhere in there. And what happens is the cars come over the top of that hill. they have no idea that the lane is closed, or let's not say closed, but let's say the lane is it has become rather complex operationally. And so in their haste to slow down, and remember there's traffic coming in both directions, they hit the brakes. When they hit the brakes on this hill, because of the snow, because of the ice, because of the temperature, the vehicles lose control, and they're drifting into the ditches on either side of this road until, and you can tell this from the video, a lot of vehicles start filling up those ditches. They're basically out of control when they brake, and then the vehicles start crashing into each other. That's the story. And what's interesting to me is that the word on the street, when you watch this video, the field technicians are pretty smug. I mean, they're just, I don't know a better word than smug. They're basically trying to get their job done as fast as they can and get out of the weather and get out of this condition. They're using their truck to actually provide protection, which is really smart, so they don't get hit. If a vehicle loses control, it hits the vehicle. It doesn't hit the technicians. And as this story progresses, another technician rolls up, and then eventually a field supervisor rolls up as well. That's kind of the story. Now, why this is interesting for us on the podcast is because the comments, if you look at the YouTube page or if you read the news on this, the comments really made it appear that the field technicians were bad guys, just bad judgment, bad people. They made a bad decision. They were doing bad work. And that's certainly one way to look at this. I mean, it's hard when they say, do you have a job to do? Well, I have a job to do. This is mine. You're in my way. Get out of the way. It's hard not to think of them as kind of bad people. The problem is that very quick jump towards bad people, which is exactly what happened on CNN, it's exactly what happened on the television news, that gives you a very compelling and pretty open and shut case that the problem was the technicians. But I'd actually suggest that incredibly oversimplifies what's going on here. And what you have are field technicians in a complex environment, adapting as the weather changes. They didn't get to pick where this junction box was. I mean, because if they would have picked it, I bet they would have picked one that had great visibility, was not at the bottom of a hill, had plenty of parking, was covered, heated, had free cookies. I mean, I can imagine if they were to pick where they wanted to work, they would simply have picked where they wanted to work. But that option wasn't given to them. You know, they had to take the work as they saw it. And then they followed the procedures. Now, you'll see if you look this up on the YouTube that a lot of people did a tremendous amount of research about how many cones need to be present for the speed of the road. And depending whether it was a county road or a state road or a federal highway, the rules changed dramatically. But four cones for a 40 or five cones or four cones or however. And see, now I'm confused on the cone thing, that, you know, one cone for every 10 miles an hour is probably published somewhere, probably trained to those guys, and probably seen normally as sufficient, because it probably is normally sufficient. The issue here is that the environment in which this work was happening was different than the environment in which they thought it would be happening when they wrote the cone policy for these field technicians to use. Now, they're doing their best to get the job done. I'm going to guess, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm going to guess they don't want to create car accidents. That seems like that would be a lot of additional work and discipline, and you'd have to talk to the bosses, and people from corporate would come down. There's a lot of reasons why I'm guessing they didn't want the outcome they were getting. But there are also some really interesting discussions to be made here about how the citizen observed the risk versus the way the field technician observed the risk, because they're both looking at the same risk, but they're both reacting quite differently. The citizen's quite emotional, and rightfully so. The field technicians, I think, are pretty much all business, and they aren't rude per se. Like, they didn't curse or call the guy a jerk or, you know, flip him off or anything. They're working diligently and quite professionally, albeit a little smug, to solve this problem as quickly as they can. And the goal conflict here, you see, is pretty significant because the citizen wants to create the safest environment for them to do this work and for the cars to also not run off the road and hit each other. The technicians want to create the safest environment to do this work so that they can get this work done as fast as possible and remove this hazard from the road completely. That balance between efficiency and thoroughness, if you think of Hallnagel or you think of kind of the people we read, that balance is really at play here. And as it caught attention with the public, the way we choose to see this is going to color how we learn from it, how we respond to it, what our reaction is. Now, my guess is, you can say, this is a problem and the technician should have just moved on. And perhaps they should have. In fact, I'll bet you they had stop work authority. I'm on pretty good recommendation. I know they had stop work authority. The problem is that what they were doing was working hard to bring telephone, TV, and internet back to people's houses. I mean, that's what they were doing. And their job is to really reinstate that service as quickly as they can, because if they don't reinstate that service quickly, that has other consequences that will play out in their lives pretty dramatically. You can start to see, as we have this discussion, how interesting this case is, because there's a lot going on here. And unfortunately, I think the impression the video or the audio I played for you, and the video if you go and watch it, the impression it leaves is that the good Samaritan is the good guy, the technician is the bad guy, and we have a classic case between good and evil. But I'm not sure that's the way we want to look at this, because what we really have is a complex, adaptive environment where work is happening, and constantly that environment is introducing in a very fluid way a whole series of new hazards into the work. Hazards for the field technician, hazard for the good Samaritan, and hazards for the drivers driving down the road. So what do we do with this information? Well, first and foremost, my challenge to you on this podcast is that what I think we do with it is learn from it. What I think we do is to look at it very carefully and say, there's a quick way to see this, which would be emotionally satisfying, and there's a lot of emotions in this, but it probably wouldn't help us the next time we're on a hill and the road conditions are turning worse and worse and worse, and workers, drivers, and good Samaritans are having to interface. Perhaps what we want to do with this is to actually create an environment where we take this event and learn as much as we possibly can about how this work is done and really what the goals are for the individual participants in this action and then what the goal is collectively for the work that has to be done. That is a very, very different way to watch this or to listen to this than your initial responses to the YouTube video when you see it or hear it. That challenge asks for everybody involved to have a certain sense of maturity around how we respond to this, but more importantly, to really have a strong sense of operational curiosity. What's going on here, and what can I learn from this? That is a very, very important way to understand and look at this event.
You got work to do? Is that cable more important than people's safety?
As simple as that question is, or sounds, that was a combination of is and sounds, that question, that sort of emotional response to this environment, really sets up this dichotomy that you can either work or be safe. And in fact, what those technicians want to do is both. What those drivers want to do is both. What that good Samaritan wants is both. And when we contrast that so emotionally, and he had lots of reasons to contrast that, we really make it appear that they're choosing to not be safe. That's a hard sell for me. I mean, I'm open to an argument on this. If you want to call me or send me an email, please do. But my guess is they didn't want to not work safe. They didn't want to create hazards for the driving public. My guess is what they wanted to do was fix the system. And the system in this case is internet, telephone, TV. And there they are, caught in the middle of a really, 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 really difficult situation where the answer is they should have probably moved their trucks and they should have called a stop work. And retrospectively, that's super clear. But at the time, what I think they wanted to do was get the work done. When we make it a clear choice, you can be safe or you can get work done, I'm not sure we're prepared to accept the answer to that question. Because I'm not sure the answer to that question is what we want to hear. That becomes very, very important. And that really is this quick little episode of the Pre-Accident Investigation Podcast. We'll see where this all heads. And if you do me a favor, grab a listen to this and see what you think. I'm really curious. It's kind of fallen out of the limelight now. There's been a lot of stuff. Holidays happened, and we're in a whole new year. But I didn't want to let this pass without at least a discussion at some point about how this makes you feel. Check out the video. It's easy to find. See what you think. And then ask this question. Where do these same conditions exist in my organization? Where do I have these same types of goal conflict where people that are doing work adaptively out in the world, you know, field technicians are on the floor of the plant or running a big, you know, DevOps program, where do these same goal conflicts exist? And what ammunition, what tools, techniques, philosophies, outcomes, what have I given my people that allow them to be successful in this constantly changing, complex environment? That really is what we want to talk about, and that really is a great way to launch into 2017. I'm looking forward to this year. I can't believe all the cool people and cool things that are lining up for the podcast. Thanks for listening. It's so nice to have you on board. We made it to the top 10 again this year, so we are in the top 10 of government and boring crap. I think it's got a different title than that, but the podcast is surprisingly popular, happily popular, and that's all because of you. I mean, you really make this go. And as 2017 starts rolling, because it's pretty fresh right now, as 2017 starts rolling, I think our opportunities to look at the world differently can make a video like this have a different outcome. I'm worried somebody got fired, and they might have. I don't know. I don't have access to that information. I tried, but no one wants to talk about that. When in reality, this is just an incredible opportunity to learn. That's the podcast for today. Thanks for being a part of it. As always, if you want to be on or you know people that should be on or you've got suggestions, drop me a line. It's easy, toddconklin@gmail.com. I'm more than happy to talk to you about it. I'm always looking for really interesting, cool things to put on the podcast, like this discussion. But until then, learn something new every single day. I bet you did today. Have as much fun as you possibly can. And for goodness sakes, be safe.